You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This week, his family, friends, and coworkers lost Jonathan Woolman to pancreatic cancer. Perhaps you don't know his name, but you have been informed by the news stories he covered and the editorial decisions he made during a journalism career that spanned 46 years. Jonathan Woolman was editor and publisher of the Detroit News for the past 12 years. Daniel Howes wrote John Woolman's obituary for the News and is with us now. Daniel, tell us, what are some of the important positions that John Woolman held before he came to Detroit and to the News?
Well, I think the biggest informative one was he was the Washington bureau chief through the Clinton years primarily. And then in 98, he became the managing editor of the Associated Press, which moved him to New York and eventually rose to become executive editor, which is the top editorial job for the AP, which is a global news gathering operation. John started with the AP in Madison, Wisconsin in the mid-70s, came to Detroit after a brief stint at the Denver Post, where he was editorial page editor, and been with us and led us for the last 12 years, as you pointed out. And by all accounts, was very excited about being in Detroit. That's where he actually started his career. Once he left Madison, and his first posting was as a young reporter in Detroit. And he was there in the early 70s. He was named to Detroit just before Coleman Young was elected mayor. So he had a very storied career.
Yeah, and certainly it seems, especially in the 12 years that he was editor and publisher of the News, he really led the news coverage of some very important stories for Michigan. What are some of those most important stories?
Well, for me, I think clearly it started with the bankruptcies of the Detroit automakers, General Motors and Chrysler, and suppliers. John quickly understood the nexus between the new incoming Obama administration, Congress, Treasury, the auto companies, in a way that I think transcended a lot of people who had maybe been in that job before, and that's just because of his experience. You know, we moved on to the bankruptcies of the city of Detroit, which was, as you know, and your listeners know, totally formative in changing the arc of Detroit and its investment. The rebuilding of the city of Detroit, the Flint water crisis, a lot of these things, and that were very high-stakes stories. And John was very familiar with this. This is the guy who was the executive editor of the AP on election night 2000, when there was enormous pressure on his successor as the Washington bureau chief to call the race for George W. Bush, as all the TV networks did. John took all the incoming fire, or most of it, from newspapers, publishers around the country, did not pressure his Washington bureau chief. She made the call, and she was right. And she made the call not to make the call, I should say. And she was right. So John had a lot of those kinds of experiences, and he brought them to Detroit and instilled them in us, I think, in a way that as business was going more click crazy and focused on the kind of viral stories that could draw clicks, John was a traditionalist. He was old school. And I think as this has moved in the industry, it differentiated us in the marketplace.
And he certainly, in his years at the News, had to, you know, it's a time when your business is under intense budget pressures. He had to make some unhappy decisions regarding budget cuts and staff cuts. How did he handle that?
Well, I think the way he handled it was he always tried to husband reporting assets. When he died, we still had two people in our Washington bureau, two people in our Lansing bureau. There was always an attempt to keep the auto team staffed because John understood that those were bread and butter things for the Detroit News and had been for long before he ever came to Detroit. I think cutting budgets for him was very distasteful, but it was something he had to do. And again, given his experience, I think he could see the whole picture as to how everything would fit together. I mean, if he made changes over here, how would it affect things over there? And he was pretty good at that. That's not to say that there weren't some people who were negatively affected, and there were.
Yeah.
And I think that troubled him greatly. But I think John, when he looked back on it, he was a pretty steadying force through some very difficult times.
A lot of us might be on the receiving end of a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer and say, all right, that's it. I'm retiring today. I'm going to start checking things off a bucket list. How did John handle living with cancer?
Came to work. Came to work almost every day. When he began his chemo treatments, he would disappear for the time, do it, and he'd come back to work. And he was coming to work till about roughly less than 2 weeks before he died. And he would come in and he'd take part in the editorial meetings and talk with folks. And I think that was the fuel that made him go. And as people said at his funeral this week, there were two things that mattered most to John Woolman. One was his family, and the other was his work. And he was not going to give up either one of them until he couldn't go anymore.
And what is Jonathan Woolman's legacy?
Well, I think he leaves behind a whole generation of journalists, some of whom are at the highest levels of their profession, some of whom are household names, like John King at CNN. But there are a lot more other people in the industry who worked under John and were shaped by John. And I think in terms of the Detroit News, it would have been to continue the legacy of what he inherited and to leave behind a solid journalistic foundation that gave voice to a lot of different people. I mean, John understood what our editorial voice was as a right-of-center conservative editorial page. And while he may not have always agreed with that, he understood what it was about. You know, he was a guy who loved debate, could be very intense about it, but could disagree, as I said in the obit, without being disagreeable. Nolan Finley, our editorial page editor, said at his funeral that John's challenging of him and challenging of their editorial stances and saying, you need to defend this better, made the editorials better and made the product better because they were challenged. And I think when you think about it in that context, that is quite a legacy to leave.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, thank you so much.
Thank you.